Welcome to the Get More At Bats podcast. I'm here with my business partner, Amar, but we have a special guest, Simon. Simon, do you mind introducing yourself? Tell the audience who you are, who you serve, and then we'll get into the topic of the week.
Yes. Thank you guys for inviting me at the podcast. Been following you for quite a while. I lead B2B marketing and prospection, multi-channel prospection agency called Ox B2B. And we serve small and medium B2B companies, mainly in the manufacturing, professional services, distribution, tech industries to open new markets for them. Whether it's a new product, whether it's they want to conquer a new territory, we help them do that. So, and we're also a B2B marketing agency at the same time. So quite, special beast, if you want.
Fantastic. Cool. So let's pull on this thread. Just before the call, we were talking about the big problem we're seeing in the market. The big problem, which is probably known to everyone that listens to this podcast, is opening doors right now has become what seems to be exponentially more difficult than it used to be. Amar and I were talking about this morning, that the buyer's journey isn't, it used to be, they'd say in the book, The Challenger Sale, 57% of the buying journey is being done without us. Well, you know, Gartner's updated that information to something like 83%. Like, the vast majority of the buying journey is now without sales. Only 17% of the meeting, of the necessary sales experience live with the seller, it's only 17%. So what we were talking about, Simon, do you mind kind of summarizing the big problem and the big opportunity? We were talking about how your small to medium customers are starting to look at using their founders, their CEOs, even though people don't want to be in founder-led sales, how important in this market it is, where founders are front and center to the brand and being the brand ambassadors to drive lead flow.
Yes, I mean, you mentioned it. The stats are speaking for themselves. I think, you know, people don't want to be sold. That's the first thing. We don't want that. Account executives are, I mean, that we are trying to reach out, don't want that. So when they get reached out by a CEO or by somebody else in the company that has a good reach, a good online presence that has been known for quite a while in the industry. For example, we were discussing about presence in trade shows and, you know, wandering around the industry. We have more chances to engage our first conversation with somebody we don't know. So this is a technique we use mainly, even if the first steps after the first outreach are leading to for a discovery call or a discovery meeting with somebody else in the company, it's easier to engage a conversation from the CEO point of view.
That's a great point.
And, you know, we catch ourselves doing this in our own business, and I've now seen this. I think I've become more aware to the realities that more founders are doing the front-end lead gen, maybe not the act of pushing the buttons in sales loft and outreach of actually booking meetings, but they're the front-end to the social media channel, and the leads are being routed, whether they're introductions from channel partners, whether they're coming inbound from LinkedIn message requests. But the founders are, in fact, and this is Amar and I, where the leads come to us, and then we can bring in teammates to partner with us to help close the business. What would you say is the percentage of your customers that are leveraging that strategy where the founder, even as uncomfortable for them, they might be a technical founder who doesn't feel very comfortable being on social media, they've just had to embrace it out of sheer necessity of booking meetings. What percentage of your customer base are using a strategy like this?
Well, I would say 95.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's, and in the only few cases that it's not the case. It's a person that has more credibility in the market than them. Sometimes before, because it's, you know, it's a new CEO, it's, I mean, the family, it's a family business where, you know, the son or the daughter are taking over dad's, you know, ownership, and then they have to build their own credibility. Then a vendor, an experienced vendor, may have some credibility that is not yet there for the CEO, but it's rarely the case. Really, I would say 95%.
So let's actually do a bit of spitballing here. You have a company, you win a new customer, that customer has very little social presence, but there's a founder or a president or somebody in the business that has incredible knowledge of the industry, incredible contacts. They've just been living in a non-digital world. What are the first maybe 3 to 5 steps you'd recommend them taking to start becoming that magnet for their industry?
Well, I mean, of course, it's easy to say that LinkedIn is, you know, you cannot go over it. You have, I mean, I would say that we recommend at least to be present on the platform for 6 months to a year before, prior to try to engage with, you know, new prospects. And if they are, I would say, if they are babies on the platform, just beginning, I need, they need to establish their credibility and their presence also by engaging and by posting, and by sharing stuff in their market. Of course, we help them connect with a lot of professionals in their industry, but before engaging and trying to move forward and to do outbound strategies, we do that for sure.
What would you say is the biggest misstep, hiccup, problem, challenge in that transformation? Founder is trying to create, to become a social seller, a digital seller, a magnet for their business. Where is the biggest point of failure along that journey so people can avoid it?
They all want to go too fast engaging with their prospects.
Yeah, that's the sales bug that we all have.
Yeah, I mean, they want us to build lists and to move as fast as possible, and maybe to also to, even when it's the time to try to engage, they want us to move with bigger lists, with like hundreds of prospects per week with the same messages, and it's wrong. It's wrong because, I mean, you're burning your bridges sometimes that you cannot re-win after that. So we are always trying to make the best out of a prospect list, you know, that is possible, that is a good potential for our clients, and not to go B52 and go too fast. So iteration is a good, I think, is our way to go.
Well, you're talking about prospecting lists. Do you find that in order of operations, you actually have the founder create a social presence first and then start engaging, or are they doing this in parallel? I only ask this because, to your point, if you're engaging hundreds of people every week, let's say through LinkedIn, but that person has no social presence, it's just the messages fall on deaf ears. In order of operations, how far into sharing content on LinkedIn or YouTube or Instagram, what have you, until you found the timing is right for that founder to start engaging in one-to-one messaging on LinkedIn?
I mean, it always depends from where we start, of course. But if somebody has, let's say, a LinkedIn profile, it's pretty unusual now that the CEO doesn't have a LinkedIn profile and that, you know, has no contacts. But let's say the average Joe has like 500 to 600 contacts, but they're not linked to their professional, you know, their prospect, even not their clients. I would recommend that they, you know, that we build a presence for at least 6 months before we start. Usually, I mean, it's something that brings more credibility for the first outreach. Yeah.
So, and this is the that magic dance, I imagine, with customers of setting the proper expectations that this is like planting a tree. The best time to do it was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Interesting.
Simon, Simon, quick question for you.
Yeah.
So the urgency to start is immediate, right? But what challenges or what mistakes do you see founders making? Like, I'm trying to basically ask the cheat code that, you know, the listeners can apply, right, to avoid the mistakes that you're seeing in the market. What do you think they should avoid immediately as they're trying to apply this influencer, sales influencer strategy?
I think they should, like you said, I mean, you need to start now, pushing it away all the time, trying to be perfect before to start, you know, having, I mean, the first time they engage, what we see is that a lot of them want to be perfect and overthink what they want to share on their platforms. And the second mistake I would say is not to take any help from outside their own head to do that, because it's absolutely no realistic that a CEO has the time to manage everything himself, even if it's posting, at least getting some help on the groundwork on researching good topics or having an editorial, you know, thinking or strategy, at least a few buckets of different topics he wants to treat on LinkedIn, for example, would be a second mistake. Yeah. Because it requires, in the end, it requires stamina. I mean, if you know it better than I do, guys, I mean, if you're not posting a certain amount of time per week and you're consistent, then you fall off the algorithm and then you're not seen. So it doesn't give anything in the end.
That's a great point. Just a follow-up question. You just mentioned the LinkedIn algorithm. How long does the LinkedIn algorithm need to start giving you regular spotlight and attention? What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. I'd like to know. I'd like to see under the hood, you know.
Under the hood, yeah.
But I mean, under the hood. What we have seen is that when we start and when we have a good stamina, that means at least 2-3 times a week that we're posting and that we are pointing good topics and we're getting more and more engagement on the platform. I would say that 3 to 6 months begin to bring something. Before that, it's, I don't know what you observe, guys, but before that, it's pretty unusual that we see great results in terms of impressions or engagement.
Yeah, I mean, I look at my own stats. I've been doing this for 10 years plus, and I think my network grows by 0.2% a week, and it's been that consistent for years. And my engagement, Amar and I looked at these as it's kind of part of our courseware, as you use that as a gauge cluster. You know, there's a couple hundred people reviewing my profile every month or every week. And then there is, you know, X thousands of people average engaged on the post. And I haven't been able to really create, other than the odd spike or two, it's just been more of a consistency that happens. And if you look at it, if you grow, you know, 0.2% of your network compounding, right? Because and it's been like that when it was 15,000 contacts and now it's 23,000. If I keep growing at 0.2%, I'm going to hit 30,000, then 40 and 50,000. That's a lot of people I'm able to talk to. So it is truly a long tail consistency thing.
Yeah, especially now with also the limits of invitation, even if you want to move, you know, this probably organic on your side, Jamie, but the growth that you get. But if you want to target people and invite them because there's a purpose, they are in your industry, they are potential partners or clients, you're limited as well, you know, since a while. So, yeah, to begin now is a good thing with LinkedIn. It doesn't go as fast as some other some other platforms.
I think LinkedIn has always had this mindset that you have to make significant deposits into its platform before they start giving you a spotlight. But the opportunity, Simon, is massive. I think this is my personal belief. I think getting on LinkedIn today is like getting on the internet in 1998, despite having a billion users on the platform, because the data from LinkedIn says that only like 1.5% or 2% is sharing regularly, with regularly defined as three or more times a week. Right. So it's such a massive, like most people are here to just keep a resume, potentially do light networking and look for jobs once in a while. But those that figure it out, I think, is key.
Yeah.
Simon, I guess we'll begin to wrap up. Really want to thank you for your time. I think the key takeaways for me, I was taking notes here, are that founders should start on LinkedIn, or anyone really, but specifically to what you said, founders should start on LinkedIn immediately. They should start posting regularly. They should not over, I think you said, they should not overthink their posting. Just get content out there and let the market tell them exactly what they need to then focus on. So I want to thank you, really appreciate it. Can you just give us your domain name and just remind people how you wish for them to contact you?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's oxb2b.com. So everything is in there. Or my LinkedIn profile, of course, Simon Deschaine, which I'm sure you will leave the the spelling in the transcript. So it's, those are the best ways.
Awesome, Simon. Great to meet you. Thanks for your time and expertise.
Thank you very much, guys.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Great day.